put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked on a job 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times.
All radio is dead. All radio is
Wednesday, October the 14th. I am Eddie Linenstein. This is the mind. Oh, easy for me to say. It is 7:51 on Tuesday night, and I am recording the open to this podcast. And so I will try and stumble my way through the rest of this. That you heard right before leading into this was Dusty Rhodes, baby. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream Hard Times promo, the short version. Dusty Rhodes, you've probably heard of him if you have not. He was a legendary pro wrestler, and his son Cody Rhodes is the vice president of AEW All Elite Wrestling now. And I just love the passion and the fire of Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes, baby. And he has that legendary lisp. Welcome to the podcast. I think that's maybe a thing I'm going to start doing is leading into the episode each week. What promo is in my head? And it's the Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo. As always, the podcast is brought to you by the patrons of the podcast. And I'm going to start off by going back to the very beginning. Kim, and then Barb and Arnie, Helen, Brian, Alyssa, Casey, Julie, Ross, Christina, Jenny, Eddie, and a special shout out to Jen and Nate. Nate, I know that you're listening, and we're adding your name into that too. So thanks to Jen and Nate. And then Anthony, Chad, Victoria, Mike, Michael, Ashley, Francisco, Tony, Kelly, Irina, Mindy, and a new patron as of the 13th, which, oh gosh, that's today as I record this, Matthew Katz. And ironically, today's interview is with Matt Katz. And so Matt Katz is the founder of Joy Pops. And I encourage you to go to joypops.org to get maybe a little bit of background, but it gives some background basically on why, what Matt has created and why he created it. And Matt is chronic pain deleter of pain. He spent 10 years battling his own depression and chronic pain, went from physically active, pain-free law student to a shell of his former self who could no longer work, sleep, or find joy in life. What I think is really cool, and we're going to go through all the different things that this man possesses, but one interesting thing is we were going to record part two of this a couple of days ago, and then a little bit of chaos with one of my kids. She's okay. She's healthy, but we ended up having to push the second part of this back. So you will hear that at a future date, but I thought it would be cool to have part one. So here is Matt Katz.
This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein. And I think of myself as somewhat of a Renaissance man, doing a lot of things, having a lot of interests, wearing a few different hats. And then I realized that I am small peanuts compared to the guy that is on the phone with me right now. Matt Katz is on the line. Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
So what I mean by that is I didn't realize when you and I started talking, not only are you an app creator, which is cool, and we're going to get into that, but you're also an attorney, which feels like those things couldn't get more opposite, but yet here we are.
Yes, law was a path I took thinking that I really wanted to go down it at one point, and the further I got into the TMS world, the more I realized that might not be for me.
You know, interesting. So there's a I communicate with him on a fairly frequent basis. I think he lives on the east side of the country, although he talks about USC a lot, so maybe not. But he's also in law, and I know that in the 2020 special that aired at the end of the 90s, I think one of those people were lawyers too. So I'd love to get into at some point in this interview, how is it possible that that profession can predispose you to TMS, or is there some kind of personality traits that maybe you examine or have seen in yourself that can be consistent with other people that are also in law, which I'm sure you've thought about that stuff probably ad nauseum, so we can get to that stuff as well.
Yeah, I definitely have some thoughts, and I have a couple other friends or support group peers in the TMS community that are also attorneys and kind of have had these similar conversations.
Awesome. Well, let's, I've been bouncing back and forth all afternoon on kind of where I want to start. Usually, you know, it's like, kind of like an origin story. Sometimes I Tarantino it and I go backwards, but I'm really curious. I want you to actually start with the app that you have helped launch. Tell us about it. What is it called? What is the goal? And then I want to jump backwards and, you know, do kind of your beginning story, and then we'll sort of get into some of the resolution behind it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds great. So the app that I am currently developing, it doesn't exist yet, is called Joy Pops. So JOJPOPS. And basically, to kind of describe what it does, I'll give like a little snippet of my story, and then we can save the majority of it for afterwards. But so I'm a TMS patient. I've been practicing TMS work for maybe about 2 to 2.5 years. And one component that I struggled with at the beginning was, as like any TMS patient, I'm very like type A. So give me things to do and like I'll do them. And I was working with a doctor out of Chicago, Dr. Strax, and who gave me all sorts of these awesome exercises, meditations, physical movement, journaling, but they were all like blocks of time that I was devoting away from my life to TMS treatment that were really good, but they were also probably like the least stressful moments of my day. So at least for me, like if I'm journaling, I'm doing it. I have 2 children. So it's normally super early in the morning before they wake up, like in a quiet home, like on my porch, or if I'm meditating, it's like before I go to bed. And then there's like the other like 95% of my day that was just like, you know, where all the stressful stuff happens. And I reached a point with my TMS kind of journey where I was trying to find ways to incorporate the mantras and the self-talk and the things that everyone that's really in the TMS world is doing on like a minute by minute basis into all the really hard parts of my day. And I found that to be really challenging. So at first I used like sticky notes. So I just like do little doodles or mantras and just put them up like all over everywhere. But then I wanted to see if there was a way to like use technology to have them pop up more regularly. So the first kind of like version of the app was actually a product designed. I found a product designed for like little children. So it was designed by a dad who had a child with attention deficit disorder. And so this watch, it was a watch product, like a hardware product that went on the child's wrist and would pop up little like visual notifications to tell the child to do certain things during the day. So like if it was about time for the child to brush their teeth, there would be like a toothbrush that would pop up. And I was like, this is exactly what I feel like TMS patients need. It's just, we don't need toothbrushes. We need like deep breaths and meditating and like some mantra. But the app was specifically designed for little children and there were no adult versions of it. But I thought it was such a great idea that just for me, for my own kind of TMS journey, I bought the like child's watch. I took the band off of it and put like an adult band on. And then I took there was an app that accompanies the watch that the parent is supposed to use. And so the app allows the parent to choose like what mantras go up on the watch. And I kind of reverse engineered it so that it could pop up like my TMS mantras throughout the day. So that was like the very first version of the app. And at that point, it wasn't any type of venture. It was just like me trying to remember what I'm trying to work on during the day. And so that was the first progression. And now it's evolved to the point that I wanted to take this idea and it works so well for me and make something that's far more intuitive for other people that are either working on TMS or basically any other, whether it's depression or anxiety or anything else where they're trying recovery from addiction where they're trying to work on something that requires moment by moment, like steadfast self-talk and things like that, to have mantras and reminders that pop up during the day. So that, kind of in a nutshell, is what the app will do. It'll give the user the ability to, whether it's photos of maybe major victories that they've done on their TMS journey, or pictures of their children, or a specific quote that really like draws them in, allow those to pop up on their phone or Apple Watch throughout the day.
So it reminds me a lot of like I wear a, I've got a Fitbit, but obviously Apple Watch does things like this too. But I can have it say, or you know, remind me once an hour. Like right now, it reminds me at 50 after the hour if I have steps remaining to get to the 250 step goal for the hour. So you're talking about the same kind of idea, right? Where it's if a certain amount of time goes by, it's you know, almost like a little nudge or a tap on the shoulder, go and do this thing.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's a lot of like health reminder apps that say you either need your steps in, or you know, or diet apps or things like that. In my mind, that's a really good comparison to me, because this to me is like a mental health fitness tracking app, like tracking your mental kind of space that you're in. And just kind of like that app, it's not designed for you to, there are a ton of apps, like I use Headspace a lot. I love it. To me, it's like a very different, Headspace has and guided audio has one kind of place to be really helpful.
Yeah.
This kind of like the example you gave with the steps, it's not designed for you to necessarily go off into a quiet room and not that there isn't time for that and there isn't value of journaling and everything else. This is really designed kind of like the steps to just be that little jog in your mind of, oh yeah, I haven't really been thinking about the fact that, you know, my mantra for today is like whatever, like the one that I have had today has just been like outcome independence, because I've had some pain in my arm, I'm sure related to like, you know, TMS, like anxiety about this podcast. So just like in those moments where you get lost in email and your kids and your traffic and whatever, just like a quick jog to your mind of whatever you set out maybe that morning to think about before the day started.
How many, so I imagine that it is, you know, somebody downloads the app, they go in and it's like a bank of things they can probably pick from, to have almost like a pop Rolodex basically. How many of those, like, is it, you know, when I first log into the app, or when I first sign up for the app or I open it or whatever, how many of these things am I picking? And it, like, how does it determine, you know, how the frequency to which they happen, or, how many of these things is the proper amount to have?
Yeah, Eddie, the question you just asked me is the question that I ask myself like literally all the time, which is, you know, exactly like what framework will be most helpful for people. And so I'm going to kind of answer your question with kind of a little bit of a sidestep, which is that when I kind of decided that this was what I wanted to do, in terms of actually making this like a viable venture, I reached out to a bunch of app. There are basically development studios that you can contract with that will assist you in creating apps. And when I reached out to a number of them, there's a lot that like create like really awesome looking apps and functioning apps, but they didn't spend a lot of time, in my opinion, like really listening to people and understanding exactly what would be the most beneficial for the people that would use it. And what the people that would use it really defined their problem as. And so I ended up gravitating to a startup studio, Heal Ventures, which focuses exclusively on mental wellness apps. And one thing that differentiated them to me was that they put a heavy focus on doing a lot of qualitative, basically, they call them listening sessions, but it's basically just listening to other human beings describe what would be most helpful. So I say that to say we are embarking on what's going to be probably about 4 to 5 months of basically me just full time as my job listening to people, whether it's people with TMS or people with panic disorders or people with eating disorders or anything where they require that level of day to day, minute to minute recovery.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I'm really excited about is that I want to learn from other people the answer to your specific question, because I have a lot of possibilities, or me and the team have a lot of possibilities in terms of whether it would like be pre-canned groupings. So maybe all you would do is pick a grouping that's, you know, for like work stress or TMS flare up, or, but some people might want to go in and pick in the individual mantras that work for them. Some people might want to write their own mantras. So there's so many at this point, like I feel like I'm very passionate about the idea, but to a certain degree in this initial phase of the development, I want to hand it over to the people that are ultimately going to use it. So it becomes much more of a collaborative effort. So that's one reason that I was so excited to talk to you, was the opportunity to reach out to people. We've set up a landing page for the app, or a website for the app, where people can basically, if people are interested, send us their email, sign up with their email, and then participate by various forms of kind of dialogue that we're going to set up with people to really learn like what would be most helpful for you, because it's going to be a large outlay, both financially, time-wise, emotions on our part. And it doesn't make any sense to me to do that and create a product that isn't designed for what the, ultimately the people that are going to use it would best be served from.
Well, and I'll put the website or the landing page URL for that in the show notes. But what is it right now? So people, if they're sitting at their browser right now and they want to go to it.
Yeah, so it's JoyPops, so JoyPops.org, so O-R-G. And there you'll find a little bit more information about some visuals. For a visual app, we thought, it made the most sense to give kind of a visual demonstration of how the app would work, along with kind of a blog about kind of our journey making the app. And then, like I said, an opportunity for people to sign up to both follow. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be that you want to volunteer to give feedback or information. But if you just want to stay in the loop, I'm really designing the app first and foremost for TMS patients. And so when kind of push comes to shove, when we're trying to make decisions, that's obviously where my passion lies. And I know there's kind of, I should turn the question back to you, but for you with the podcast and for the people that started the Curable app, I think a lot of people, when they recover from TMS, there's almost like a borderline like evangelical desire to like help other people find out about it. So that's really been kind of my mission with the app.
That's something I'm going to want to go into a little bit later, because I think you're totally spot on. People almost feel like a call to do something in that field, whether exactly. It's a side gig like this is, or whether it's a full-time thing like what you're describing. The challenge with that, though, is that some people in my circle think I'm nuts for buying into this, this quote-unquote nonsense, depends on who it is that I'm talking to. Is the ultimate goal, after you have several months of data and listening, is the goal to bring the model to be more of a machine learning experience? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think so. So like if people want to check out another app that I have no connection to, so this isn't me hawking something that I have like a connection to, but just an app, as you might imagine, like in doing a wellness app, I've downloaded, basically every wellness app you can imagine and kind of like reverse engineered how they did it and what works and what doesn't work, what I like, what I don't like. There's an app that I'm kind of envisioning I want JoyPops to follow in terms, especially from the machine learning standpoint, but just even more generally, it's called Long Walks. So it's one word, LONGWALKS. And that app kind of, like you mentioned, kind of learns over time, what's important to those particular people, and then gives them prompts to have conversations with friends, whether that's, like I know you're part of a large, like Facebook TMS group. Long Walks was designed to facilitate kind of more meaningful communication between people that aren't necessarily in the same room, but do have some shared passion.
Yeah.
And so over time it learns, what type of dialogue do these two people want to communicate, with each other about? And then it creates fill in the blank, quotes and mantras and thoughts that they can share back and forth. So I just say that to say, I think you're spot on with, the ability for the app to evolve to something where it's able to learn and help people on their journey, because ideally it should be able to help people with PMS and also people with some totally different challenge that they're facing from a mental health standpoint. But the challenge with mental health is everything is so individual. So yes, in a perfect world, that's kind of would be the ultimate result.
And so even though you're about to go through this period of time for a few months where you're doing some evaluation and such, people can still get it right now, right? The app itself.
Yeah. So I'll kind of give you the backstory. So initially when I created the app, so I'm in support group sounds like way too sterile for what it is. I'm just going to call it what I think it is, which is like a really good friend group that was connected through Dr. Strax's program. So I have kind of like a group of like allies or really close friends that are all TMS patients. And we text like almost every day. So I was using this, my little like child's watch reverse hack odd little thing on my, for myself. And so I wanted to create something for these other people that I was in this community with. And so initially I created an app for like a few $100s with like some freelancing and like me knowing just enough to be dangerous. And that app, I launched in the App Store and got really good response from people. Not even, I expected it just to basically be me and a couple other people that I was with. It's not the most robust thing in the world because, like I said, I made it for myself and I made it with a few $100s. But, the best comparison that I've been giving people is like, it's almost like when a new restaurant opens up and before they open up, they do like a little pop-up just to see like, is this a good idea? Like, should I like invest like a large amount of like my life direction in this area? So that was kind of the initial app. So that app is available on the App Store for free right now. It doesn't cost anything. It will never cost anything. It, like I said, it's not the most robust necessarily because it was made like very quickly as basically just kind of a test balloon to see how this idea would resonate with people. But that app, so we've changed the name of the app moving forward in order to differentiate the two, basically the two products. But, so that app is available and it's entirely devoted to TMS. Like in its messaging, all the mantras are like Dr. Sarno-esque, like TMS driven. And so that app is called Zen Pops, one word, ZENPOPS. And like I said, that's free on the App Store for any app iPhone right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm on it. So I downloaded this back when you and I first started talking a few months ago.
Okay.
And there's a ton that's in here. And so, like, for instance, when I open it up, it says choose your mix of Zen Pops, icons and mantras. And it's got chronic pain, mindfulness, gratitude, movement, and perspective. And then you can choose amongst this and then choose like the time frame. What time? I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that you wanted to start at this time. Like I could say, start sending me these pops at 9 a.m. and stop sending them at 7 p.m. And then it says how many. So what does how many pertain to? It says it looks like it defaults to 10x.
Yeah, so like with when we move forward with Joy Pops, there's going to be a little bit, there's going to be less decisions that people have to make. But on Zen Pops, which was kind of my original kind of like guinea pig version, it starts at 10, which means that if you pick it to start, let's say you just, to make it easy, let's say you want to do it during your workday from like 9 to 5. So if you pick a start time of 9 a.m. and a stop time of 5 p.m., and you say that you want to receive 10 reminders, which is the default setting, then 10 times spaced out between 9 and 5, you'll receive a specific TMS reminder during your day that'll pop up as a notification in your notification center. So that's how that works. It just takes the time that you picked as your stop time and your start time, and it divides it by the number of reminders that you want to get, and then that's how often it will remind you.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I've never had an app creator on the podcast before, so that's pretty cool. closest I've had are some of the medical doctors that were advisors when Curable was created, which, you know, Curable is probably the most well-known of this, but they're, I mean, Dr. Hanscom, if he doesn't have the app out already, it's something that certainly is in development. So there's definitely ones that are out there. So now let's do, you know, the origin story. I mean, you got here for a reason. You alluded to it earlier where you said that, you know, people almost get like a calling to get in, you know, start doing something in this line of work when you've kind of had your life sort of stripped away and then had it given, not given back to you, but you've earned it back. Where did all this stuff start for you?
So I'll tell you when like the physical sensation starts, but like anyone's TMS journey, mine started like well before it got to the point of like pain, physical pain. So my first what I would describe as like something that I ultimately decided was TMS was when I was in law school. So like you mentioned earlier, I'm an attorney now. When I first started law school, within a couple weeks of starting law school, I started to develop pain in the joints of all my fingers and in my elbows and in my arms. And it progressed pretty quickly. Like, so within the first couple months of law school, I was basically unable to type and eventually became unable to write, which, and by unable, I mean it was just like too excruciatingly painful to do so.
Yeah.
And that obviously was a pretty big problem in terms of trying to keep up with the course load. And so at that point, it was the classic like type A Western model, like I need this fixed like yesterday. And in order for it to be fixed, like I need a pill or a surgery. I don't really have time for physical therapy. Like I'm in law school, like this must end. That type of mentality, like it was the farthest thing from like anything TMS related. And so that kind of started me down what was a very long 10-year, well, at that point, it was probably 8 years worth of just trying everything under the Western model, including multiple surgeries, any type of medication you could think of. I stopped counting after 50 medical professionals. I used to keep like a copious like list of like, here's all the people I saw, so that I could like shove it in front of the next person that I was going to go see, thinking somehow if they looked over the, you know, the other people that I went and saw that that would help them. But eventually I was just like, this is far too depressing to continue to count. But my point is it launched me into this long process where slowly by slowly, I just lost the ability. At first it was I was losing like luxury things like the ability to type or the ability to, you know, play. I remember it was a big deal, like in law school, I couldn't do flag football anymore because I was too aggressive. And then it just became more and more debilitating to the point that I couldn't drive and I couldn't sleep and I couldn't, you know, participate in family gatherings. And so kind of, I'm sure like it's similar for other people that have gone through this process. You just wake up one day and it's just like, why am I even here? You know, like what? I'm just living in 20-minute increments of hell over and over and over and over and over without any real like progress at any point. Yeah. So that was kind of all before I had found TMS. But to answer your question, that was kind of law school was the initial kind of like triggering event for me with my pain.
So what were, you know, I'm always curious on what some of the language is so powerful. And so what were some of the diagnostics that were being thrust upon you for this?
Oh my goodness. So like I went and saw an orthopedic surgeon and he was like, I think what you have is called cubital tunnel syndrome, which is like a nerve similar to, what's the other tunnel? Carpal tunnel syndrome. He's like, it's a quick surgery. You'll be in and out. You'll be back to like law school in a couple weeks. So I did it. Because I wanted to be back to law school in a couple of weeks. And it didn't go well. The surgery went fine in terms of like it he didn't mess up, but it just didn't go well in the sense that the pain continued to get worse. And so then I kind of sprouted out to see like a rheumatologist and a neurologist and to do like the nerve conductivity tests, and a geneticist. And I eventually saw a geneticist who diagnosed me with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Which is a really awkward name. It's like two doctors that came up with the disorder. So Ehlers and Danlos.
I was going to say, don't spoil the name.
Yeah, right. And so anytime I would describe it to people, I would always have to like spell out this like incredibly long, awkward name before I even said what it was. So for the longest time, like I thought that was like the source of my pain. Because this geneticist at a reputable hospital in Cincinnati, which is where we lived at the time, was like, yeah, this is what you have. I'm going to send you to this Ehlers-Danlos specialist. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like a specialist, that sounds that sounds about right. Like that, I think we're at the point where like a specialist is needed. And so I went and saw this doctor, and I won't say her name, but basically my wife was in the appointment with me. We were actually talking about it this weekend when I told her I was doing the podcast. She's like, "Are you going to talk about the appointment?" And I knew as soon as she said that, like exactly what she was talking about. I know everyone has had this moment, but it was just like one of the darkest points of my existence was, so she was an Ehlers-Danlos specialist. She said I had this hypermobility disorder. And the way she put it to me, she's like, "Have you ever heard of a Pinto car?" And I'm too young to like have heard of it in the sense of like, "Oh, I've been in one." But of course, you know, I've heard of Pinto cars blowing up or, you know, just being like terribly made. And she's like, "You are a Pinto." She's like, "Ehlers-Danlos means that you like everything kind of falls apart. You're way too mobile. So you're very flexible. And over time, like all your connective tissue just becomes really loose and falls apart." And so she's like, "If you're a Pinto and you don't really go anywhere, you know, if you leave the garage a couple times in your Pinto and you take it at slow speeds and you're really careful about everywhere you go and you get its oil changed like twice as often as you need to, like your car will, you know, it'll make it for a while. But if you try to drive it like anyone else drives their car, your car's going to break down and it's never going to run." And so I went into a specialist it took a long time to get in to see her. She was the Ehlers-Danlos kind of like person that I was supposed to go to, and walked out with just this pervasive fear of anything. And that pervasive fear, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, is just like fuel to TMS, right? So any type of movement, I'm hyper aware about things anyway. And that just started me down what was already a bad path, just like a super depressive path about just like, well, I guess I just need to stay in my like, you know, my Pinto garage in order to survive. So yeah, that was kind of like the end of the line for me with kind of traditional kind of medicine.
I mean, my goodness. Is that your puppy in the background, I hear?
It probably is. We just got, we adopted a dog like 2 weeks ago, so it very well could be her down there.
I'm trying to, hold on. It's funny because I'm taking my headphones off as you're saying that, and my wife just texted me, "This dog is killing me because I keep hearing barking." But
it's tough to be yours.
It might be mine, but I can't tell because I have these headphones on. And then when I take them off, if it is her, she just stopped, of course. So, but
one of our dogs is tweeting about this.
Yeah, that's funny. I completely know what you're talking about. You know, you walk out with this fear. Mine was a lot more subtle than yours because the you know, I have a couple of different examples of the way that this, the way this happened. Number one was when I had dislocated my shoulder about 5 years ago, and, I knew that it was really, really bad, but I had this fear because I didn't know what it was. And so I was, yeah, kind of petrified of every movement and everything that I would do. And then when I went to go, the first surgeon that I saw, and I did the MRI and all that, the MRI showed a ton of problems, but the doctor said, "You're probably not going to get worse unless you do something really catastrophic." She's like, "This doesn't have to be repaired now. And you know, you can go and do pretty much anything you want. And if you have a little bit of pain, back off a little bit." And she was an athlete, did the same sport that I did. But I left that doctor's office. Suddenly my pain went from an 8.5 down to a 1. And I think it was literally just because of the language of her saying that you can continue to do what you do. And you know, you'll probably be fine. That's really a 180 degree difference from what you were told. I bet if that doctor hadn't used the, cause now you've got all this imagery of a Pinto and a car that's breaking down and connect, like when I think of connective tissue that breaks down and I'm too mobile and all this kind of stuff, like, what a nightmare. It reminds me of somebody that's literally like melting. I don't know if you've ever seen Breaking Bad, but there's a couple of scenes in the show where, you know, they use the hydrogen oxide or whatever it is, and those people are literally melted. That's what I'm imagining when you talk about that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm like with any other group other than other TMS people, I would almost be embarrassed to explain this story, but after that, so I also had a lot of like pain in my head and my neck. And so I got one of those like neck braces. So I almost looked like one of those dogs after they've had a surgery where they like need to make sure that they're not moving their head, you know? I just had to, and I would just wear it. Like it became like the thing I wore in the house, like all the time, because I was so afraid to move my head in basically any direction, because that same doctor had said, you know, your ex, I don't even know the names of the various vertebrae, but they're slipping out. You know, I can feel them slipping every time you move your neck. And so I just became extraordinarily scared. And I don't even know that at that time I knew it was like just like pervasive fear, but I did know that like, oh, this is the safest thing for me to do, is to try to manage this pain basically. And so, I went through like a 30-day chronic pain management program, that was in Chicago. That was kind of my first dabble in non-interventional pain treatment. But again, that program, even that program, which was, you know, on the cutting edge of like cognitive behavior therapy stuff, it was all about like, you're broken and we need to like manage this. And so we're going to give you a lot of tools, but then like you need to leave and like stay really. And so that was what attracted me to TMS. The first point is like, wait, someone's explaining to me that like this could be entirely emotionally based, and like I can go back to doing all the things that like make life worth living. Like that had me like hook, line, and sinker, at least as something that I wanted to explore.
So how do you go from the point of, you know, learning about it? Because, you know, anybody can look at a pool, but eventually they have to be willing to jump in the deep end.
Yeah.
So how did you go about getting all of your activity back and, you know, being a normal person again?
Yeah, for me, it was a slow, like, I feel like sometimes I'll listen to these recovery stories and, you know, someone will have like a really quick recovery and I'm always like, well, I'm really happy for you. But, you know, like, oh, that's terrible.
I hate that guy.
I'm very jealous. Yeah, right. So like for anyone who's not had that experience, I was very slow burn, recovery. So I got connected with Dr. Strax, John Strax in Chicago after listening to his, podcast interview on the Like Mind, Like Body Curable. And he was relatively a couple hours away from where I live. And everything he was saying, like his pain started when he was in med school. And it just I just had this feeling, like I just listened to the podcast and had this feeling. And I told my wife, I was like, you need to listen to this podcast. You need to listen to it. And at first, like, you know, life would just happened and she hadn't listened to it. And finally, one day I was like, you literally need to listen to this like tonight. And she listened to it and she's like, we're going, like, you need to call him like tomorrow. I forget exactly what she said, but like, call him by the end of the weekend. Like, we're going to see him. So he was like, and he already knows this, but he was like he still is my saving grace. And he has a program that's entirely virtual. So there are people all over the country. And I think sometimes even like the world. Well, I know. Yeah. Some people that like, there's a woman in the group right now who's in England. And his program basically walked me through, cause I was the type of person, I read Dr. Sarno's books and I was like, I'm 100% convinced this is what I have. I'm also not convinced that this book alone is enough for me. Like I need more structure and framework. And Dr. Strax's program, was that for me. And a lot of it was just very slowly starting to get back into doing the things that I love to do. And I found the self-talk part of TMS like treatment really helpful. And I worked from home as an attorney at the time. So I would literally like, when I say self-talk, I don't mean like cognitive behavior, like thoughts that I'm having in my head, but I mean like literally I would just talk out loud to myself like most of the day, just repeating mantras like over and over about like, I'm safe. I don't need pain to distract me. I don't need it to protect me. My pain is caused by my emotions. Like all the mantras, that Dr. Sarno preached, I just said them like over and over and over and over. Almost until like my brain didn't have a choice but to like start to try them on and see how they fit.
So for you, because what you're describing, and maybe it wasn't exactly this, but Sarno's 12 daily reminders sound a lot like what it is that you're talking about. Maybe it was the same thing, maybe it was not. And a lot of people, like one thing that I did particularly really early on was peruse a lot of the TMS forums, and the people that, because it sort of classifies people for how long they've been around, and I think it's like Golden Eagle or something, is somebody that's been in that forum for several years. And it seems like the people that have been around a long time, they really preach the 12 daily reminders things, but that's not so much talked about now. There's far more, you know, the journaling stuff and the seeing a TMS therapist and all this, but the really just nitty gritty, very basic stuff that you're talking about worked for hundreds of thousands, maybe even more people before the internet was this crazy place that you could, you know, information was aplenty and podcasts were a thing. So, you know, you're talking about having to do this over and over and over again so that your brain didn't have a choice. How long are we talking about? It sounds really similar to me of like an alcoholic kind of has to take the, you know, a recovering alcoholic has to take their, you know, their approach to life literally moment by moment, which seems agonizing, but it sounds like that worked for you.
It worked for me. And I love that you use that comparison because I've talked to some of the people that I, in kind of like my friend group or support group for TMS about, like, I think it is for me so much like someone that's recovering from addiction about, like, I truly think if I just put everything in a box, all my TMS stuff, whether it's a literal box or kind of like this idea of just like shove everything away and went back to my life, like my pain would come back just like an addict would slip into, using again. Like that's the truth that I tell myself is that I need this, this has to be like part. And I almost welcome it as part of like who I am. But I will say, like, over time I've had the switch, I'm always constantly like change. I found at first, like, if I use the same, the reason that I didn't like the exact words that Dr. Sarno used is like, I needed like the novelty of changing it up. And like, I would draw a bunch of little doodles. Like, I know this one's corny, but I would always have, I would draw like a little, like a plug and an outlet and like, I'm unplugging like that pain pathway. And that little doodle of like a plug worked for me for like a couple weeks. And then it was like, okay, my brain, like, I need novelty. Like, I need to come up with a new analogy. And so that honestly was kind of how the app idea started. It's like, okay, I have all these little visual doodles that I have up. Like, I really need someone to just like tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, like, you're in the middle of the day. Like, why don't you look at this little plug that you've drawn for yourself? So for me, like, it's both something that I need to continue, but I don't continue it with the same level of like intensity. Like, at the beginning, I was like talking to myself like all the time. Now it's like I notice when I have pain come on, and that's my signal that like, hey, you need to kind of go back. Like, the square one is almost like my safe base of like, okay, you have these skill sets and your pain is trying to tell you that like it's time to check in with them.
So that's a really interesting question. When we're kind of rounding out to the last 5 minutes or so, are like, you know, a re-pop up of symptoms or re-pop up of pain, because I have those too, and I have a certain toolkit that I revert back to, and it used to be a super long one where if I started to get an ache or a pain or a sudden sharp onset of something, like, I would go back and I would do, you know, 40 minutes of journaling and 10 minutes of breathing and, you know, this, like, this very regimented thing, when that was not really helping at all. Now it's much more basic and stripped down, and it's really just having the ability to pay attention without judgment, and that inherently chills me the fuck out. So tell us about yours.
Oh my gosh. So it, like you said, I have this like toolkit, that I could talk like all day about, but just to like, if I were to like say one thing, that has been like invaluable, if I were to categorize it as like the one thing that like, if this weren't in the toolkit, like, I don't think the rest of the toolkit would survive. For me, it is a small community of like trusted people that I'm like in the grind with. So Dr. Strax's program started with groups of, you know, maybe like 10 people that met virtually together. And I did that group with the same group of, I did that course with the same group, and a couple of us kind of became friends through it. And we've talked about this, we being like me and a couple other people that I'm friends with have talked about this idea that, like, so Eddie, you have small children, I have small children as well. Like, when I see my children on a day-to-day basis, like, I don't notice them changing. Like, they don't look any different to me than they looked a week ago. But when my parents come over that haven't seen them in a couple weeks, they're always like, oh my gosh, like, your son, you know, like Theo, who's my son, he's so much older. There's like some distance when you're not in the grind every moment.
Yep.
And so for me, when I'm in my like lowest of lows, what helps me the most is to be able to text or look out or email or have a phone call with, I'm not talking about like a giant community of like thousands of people, but just like a couple of people that have been on the journey with me. Almost like that child analogy, to see them and be like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so, it just ran a 5K. And I remember them like 2 weeks ago when they were in a lot of pain and now they're doing better. In other words, like it's really helpful for me to see other people because it's easier for me to separate out the timeline when I'm seeing it happen, not on a moment by moment basis, because pain to me can like really shield me from seeing like the long-term kind of like ebb and flow that even like a upward trajectory takes. You know, if for me, it's definitely not been like a linear line of improvement at all times.
There's a phrase that I use. So I'm in sales, I'm in software sales, and I have been for a long time, 10 years or so. And one of the phrases that I constantly go back to if I'm feeling like, you know, I have a meeting or a proposal, like it's not a transactional type of sale meeting. I'm not calling somebody and expecting to sell them this credit card over the phone or whatever. Yeah. Usually it's months or years for some cycles. And if I get off of a meeting or I get out of a boardroom or something like that, and it didn't go that well, or I feel like things are a little bit stagnant, I always ask myself, you know, re-explain why you have the right to even be in the room and discuss these things with the customer. Like, have I earned the right to even do that? And what you're describing to me about being able to have those people that are in the foxhole with you that you can reach out to or talk to, or even just get a little bit of temporary motivation to kick your ass into the right direction. A couple of years ago, I was thinking about that concept as it related to TMS and chronic pain, and being able to have people who had earned the right to hear, to hear about me or the issues that are going on in my life. Meaning, like, who are the people that I can trust as confidants that I can say and express things like how frustrating my kids are, life, or whatever. And that sounds like kind of what you're talking about, the people that have earned the right.
Yeah. And so, I think that's 100% right. And also like that speak the same language. Cause I think by earning that right, you like develop a very unique, which is the reason I love your podcast and a couple of the other TMS podcasts, is like, not that I don't listen to other mindfulness podcasts, but not only do you, in earning that right, you like learn how to like see the same thing, which is so often like so different than how even like family members that really want to understand, like if you haven't gone through it, it's just really difficult. So that to me has been invaluable.
Definitely. Well, I'm not bullshitting you here. This has been one of the fastest 45 minutes I can recall in interviewing. We didn't get to, I had made a list of things that I want to expand and talk about. So if you feel that I have earned the right to maybe we do a part two of this in a few weeks, I would love to, because there's a lot of things around really like your almost like continued maintenance plan, basically, but also the psyche of a career that has a lot of demands in it. I think that alone, that's, you know, it's a unique perspective of somebody that, because a lot of times, like if I'm talking to like another job that has the necessity of a lot of schooling and training would be a medical doctor, but the medical doctors I have on are usually TMS medical doctors, and that becomes a whole other kind of conversation. So if you're willing, I would love to have you back sometime in the next few weeks and we can do a part two.
That would be great. I would appreciate that. And I just wanted to end by saying thank you. I can't count how many times I've gotten on like my trainer. I cycle a lot, so my bike is connected during the winter months to a trainer. If I'm having a bad day, like my go-to like toolkit is like, I'm just going to hop on the trainer, like pop on Eddie's podcast and listen to someone kind of like what we were talking about, like listen to someone who is in the foxhole too, that has come out the other side. And for me, that's just been incredibly valuable.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool to get those stories out there. I appreciate you pointing that out, and hopefully that'll continue. So we will do part two in a few weeks.
Okay, that sounds great. I appreciate it.